who joins us, a beat reporter for the Montreal Canadiens, writes at The Athletic. And Arbonne, I guess the big question is Cole Caulfield. Is he only not in the lineup because of salary cap restrictions by the Canadiens?
No, it's not even salary cap restrictions. It's the fact that they only have one call-up left. So they used up three of their call-ups right on deadline day. And as you know, every team has a right to four regular call-ups after the trade deadline. They used up three of them right off the bat. So right now they're in a situation where they want to save it in case they need it to address some other position. But I'm kind of the mind that they might as well just do it, because you can always have an emergency recall if someone gets injured. But right now, that's what's kind of keeping... Well, it's not only that. I mean, I think that they want to determine if he's ready or not, and there's all sorts of other considerations. But the main one being that they only have one recall left because they burned three of them right on deadline day.
Which is kind of a weird timing, I guess. But, you know, injuries play a part in it at some point. But if you look at Caulfield, and hey, I understand that, you know, NCAA and AHL, and, you know, he's lit it up there, obviously very brief time in the AHL. But, like... where could he help them? Like, where do you see a fit in the lineup where they look and say, hey, I think Cole Caulfield could fill this spot?
Well, the obvious one is the power play. You know, I mean, he's ready to play on an NHL power play right now. The question being whether he's ready to play 5-on-5. And so on the right side right now, they're down a Brendan Gallagher. So there is sort of a very natural, organic kind of fit there, not necessarily in Brendan Gallagher's normal spot, because he plays on the Phil Deneau line, who will be seeing a lot of Connor McDavid this evening, and you don't want Cole Caulfield to be in that situation. But there is a way there's room in the lineup on the right side to fit him in, maybe on a third line or even a fourth line, to kind of ease him in at 5-on-5. But it's obvious the Canadiens' power play has been pretty dreadful of late, so it is a natural place to put him and see what he can do. I mean, he's lethal on the power play and has the hockey IQ to do it at an NHL level, obviously has the shot at the NHL level. He's probably a better shooter than any forward on the Canadiens right now. So it's especially when it comes to a one-timer. So that's the natural fit. And I think the Canadiens are trying to deal with this delicately. He's a prospect that they value a great deal, and they don't want to do something that they might regret. But I'm kind of, you know, I'm of the opinion that maybe these things are overthought a little bit, and that, you know, just give the kid a shot and see if he can survive or handle it. But the Canadiens aren't quite there yet. I think partly because they're concerned about the delicate nature of it, but also because of the recall situation I mentioned earlier.
What do you see the Habs doing that is limiting the offensive success of McDavid and Draisaitl?
I think they're really limiting their ability to get through the neutral zone with speed. That's really something that they've done well in the games that they've played together. Against each other, I should say. You know, Phil Deneau and Thomas Tatar in particular are two guys who track through the neutral zone really well, and so they've been able to force McDavid and Draisaitl to a lesser extent, I guess, but force particularly McDavid to, like, at least change directions once or be forced to do something in the neutral zone that kind of, I guess, mitigates his speed somewhat, so that when he's hitting the blue line, he's not in full flight. And so they've done a really good job of that, and just by being aware of where he is and forcing him to make a decision maybe a little sooner than he'd like. And so that's allowed the Canadiens' defense to sort of meet him, I guess, higher up, like closer to the blue line than they normally would, because if McDavid is hitting the blue line at full speed, a defenseman's backing the hell away from that, because, you know, you don't want to be made to look stupid. But if you can slow him down a little bit in the neutral zone, that allows the defense to get a little bit more aggressive. So they've been working in tandem really well in the games they've played so far. And now that I've said that on Edmonton Radio, I'm sure he's going to light it up tonight and burst through the neutral zone with full speed. But that's what they've done so far to sort of limit the damage with him.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was looking at it. Like, Draisaitl has 15 shots in the five games, and McDavid has 11. Like, it's they're getting chances, they just haven't scored. And it's funny, like, Carey Price, his two best games of the season, if we just look at save percentage, have come against Edmonton. He's got three games of 917, 971, and then, of course, the shutout. And his season has been very peaks and valleys. I was looking at his 24 starts, and he's got 11 of them where he has a sub-900 save percentage, and the other 13, you know, he's 909 or better. Like, it seems like the numbers suggest that. Has his game been that inconsistent?
Yes and no. I mean, there have been parts of the season where the numbers reflect how he's played. And he's gone through this every year for the last 3 or 4 years, is where he hits a lull, you know, a month into the season where he's just fighting it. And the same thing happened this season. He had to deal with an injury for a little bit recently, but there was also a time when the numbers weren't really reflecting how well he was playing, in the sense that, you know, if you looked at the individual goals, a lot of them were really slam dunk layups. You know, I mean, it was there was nothing he could really do about them. And when you pile up enough of those, the numbers are going to look bad, but really how much at fault is he? So yes, I would say his season's been inconsistent, because he had a stretch where the numbers were reflective of how he was playing, but there was also a stretch where he had bad numbers, but it wasn't necessarily a good indication of how effective he's been. But the one thing he hasn't done is put together a long string of games where he's been lights out. And I think that's what the Canadians are waiting for, and frankly, I think that's what Carey Price is waiting for too.
Yeah, it seems like he's such a big part of what they're doing. And, you know, obviously Carey Price, when he's feeling good, the whole team is feeling much better. But is there another player in the lineup that is either starting to turn the corner or has turned the corner that you think is going to have an impact for them?
That's a good question, because I guess the easy answer is no, because they've played so poorly since Brendan Gallagher went out. They've played 7 games without him, and in 6 of them they scored 2 or fewer goals. The one game they didn't was the win against Toronto, a 4-2 win. But otherwise, it's been 0, 1, or 2 goals. So there's really no one who has picked up the slack for Brendan Gallagher. And if there was one thing this team was supposed to be able to do this season, was you know, accommodate an injury to an important player. I think what this does is really shine a light on just how important Brendan Gallagher is to this team, and which is why he was signed to a contract extension in the offseason. But, you know, you're wanting to see a Jonathan Drouin kind of pick up the slack, or a Josh Anderson, or a Tyler Toffoli, Thomas Tatar. There's lots of candidates of guys who you could turn to make up for that offense, and it just hasn't come yet. So, you know, they're aware of it, and it's bothering them, but that's just been a fact. There isn't a guy I could turn to or look at based on the question you just asked and give an affirmative answer. I mean, Phil Deneau's been pretty good as a two-way center and as a guy who does his job, and he's not expected to put up huge numbers. But, you know, he shouldn't be the only guy I can turn to, even in a roundabout way, when you ask a question like that.
Well, what about Tatar? You know, he had that sluggish start. Is he starting to show a little bit more life?
Well, he was. You know, when Gallagher went down, he was playing really well. I mean, he had strung together a series of good games, and he's still playing reasonably well, even though the numbers aren't quite there since Gallagher went out. But yeah, he had such an up and down season, and I think the big thing, you know, you look at, like, I can't speak to how much this plays in a player's mind, but both Tatar and Deneau were not given contract extensions entering the season. They're playing out their current contracts. Are going to be unrestricted free agents if they're not signed by July 28th. So, you know, it's hard not to think that their sluggish or I guess inconsistent starts to the season had something to do with that. I mean, Deneau has admitted that all the change around him and some of the uncertainty was playing in his mind a little bit. But I would say Tatar's been generally good. It's just that those two guys, you just see to what point Gallagher drives that line. When he's on that line and they're all going, it is objectively one of the best two-way lines in the NHL. It's not at the top, but it's up there, and it's probably higher than most people think. But without him, it's still a good line, but it's nowhere near that same level as it is when Gallagher's there.
Arvon Basu joins us, a beat reporter for the Montreal Canadiens. They're in town tonight and Wednesday to take on the Edmonton Oilers. Arpon, I look at this Montreal team, and now you get Chariot back, so they put Edmondson and Petrie back together. You know, they're 6 defensemen, similar to the start of the season. I think that's the strength of this team, no question about it. You look at you mentioned Deneau and down the middle, and if there's one weakness in Montreal, is Winnipeg, Edmonton, Toronto all have the top end forwards. I think Montreal probably has number 1 to number 6, the best defense, but do they have enough offense, do you believe? And you know, like that game changer. Toffoli's had an unreal year. He's got 20 goals. But is that the concern, and maybe why they should insert Caulfield? Because he might just be the best chance to be an offensive game changer.
Yeah, well, you know, Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think the thing that the Canadians are worried about is inserting Caulfield into the lineup because they need to. You know, I mean, I think there's a certain amount of, you know, you want to alleviate as much pressure as you can on a kid like that making his NHL debut. You don't want him to get the impression that he better score or else the team's going to lose. I do think that's a consideration for them right now because they can't score. But this has been a problem for the Canadians for a long time, and it's probably going to be for quite a while. I mean, they have a lot of faith in Nick Suzuki and Jesperi Kotkaniemi, and they've shown some growth this season, but they're not at a level where they can be relied on as offensive contributors as well as they did in the playoffs last summer, fall, end of summer, early fall. They were, you know, they're being looked at as kind of the future core, but, you know, Gallagher's really the one guy who's an established game changer in that sense. Josh Anderson's playoff history suggests that he could be a guy like that in a playoff scenario, but the team is not built with a go-to mentality. It's really built with a collective mentality where when fully healthy, you know, they were built to have a top nine that could spread the wealth both from a matchup perspective and from an offensive production perspective. And the hope was that they had enough, you know, they had enough good to very good talent sprinkled throughout the lineup that they shouldn't need a game changer, that the game changer could change from game to game. That recently has just not been the case. It was earlier in the season. It hasn't been over the last couple of weeks or so. So they're going to need to find that. You know, they're going to need to get, you know, Toffoli going on a more consistent basis, Anderson going, Tatar, even Corey Perry to a lesser extent has been a bit of a surprise, but they've come to lean on him a little bit in terms of his effectiveness on the power play and his ability to put the puck in the net. And that's how this team's built. They know what they face in the division. You know, I mean, you could even throw Calgary in there in terms of having sort of, you know, game breaking talent up front that the Canadiens don't necessarily have. And they hope to do it by committee from day one. That's been the plan from the beginning of the year. And right now, that what they didn't anticipate is the entire committee being in a slump, which is kind of the case right now. But the beauty of that is that you only need one or two of those, let's say, four or five candidates to sort of have an ugly game, and that gets solved. It just hasn't happened of late.
Any chance that Erik Gustafsson gets in, you know, one of the guys they traded for, maybe to add a little bit more, I don't know, maybe offensive flair to that back end?
Yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, you know, their struggles on the power play make it a pretty strong possibility. He's not going to be out of quarantine until Wednesday morning, Dominique Ducharme said today there'd be no chance of him getting into a game with just a morning skate under his belt. So when they'll actually be able to fit him in is unclear because they don't have time to practice. They're playing, you know, five games in 8 days on this trip. So, which is obviously insane, but that's what's going on. And John Merrill is the kind of the guy that, you know, he doesn't address the offensive part of it, but he comes out of quarantine tomorrow, in which case they're scheduled to skate, have a practice tomorrow in Edmonton. So, you know, slight possibility you'll see him in the game on Wednesday. But Gustafsson would really come in with a specific role, and that would be if the power play continues to struggle long enough where he's in game shape, he'd have a chance to practice with the team and they could find a way to fit him in. But, you know, he comes with benefits offensively and real mm-hmm. issues defensively. If you look at some of the shifts he had with the Flyers this season, honestly baffling how he plays defensively sometimes. So, you know, the Canadiens are going to have to make that determination. But I would suggest that if they're counting on Erik Gustafsson to solve their offensive problems, and maybe they're deeper problems than they care to admit.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, Harpon, we look forward to the two-game series. Appreciate your time.
All right, thanks, guys.